This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney. Once again, how many of you are hot, hot, hot? It used to be the easy thing for the comedian to step on the stage and talk about just how hot is it, but nobody really wants to talk about the heat wave that we're seeing that continues, not just in California, but also in big parts of the West. So we'll talk about that here at the top. We have a great show for you. I'm on the road, and I had the opportunity to go to Niagara Falls. I said in the first hour I would talk about Niagara Falls. What was really, really cool for me, as somebody who, as a kid, and once when I was traveling with the Dallas Cowboys and they were playing Buffalo, I had a chance to see Niagara Falls, but just really kind of briefly from the American side. I mean, I shouldn't say briefly. We took pictures and did all of that. But I'll tell you what, seeing Niagara Falls from the Canadian side was really, really, really something. I mean, look, this is a place that you can tour by bus, by boat, on foot, whatever. I mean, it's really just eye candy that blew me away. Looking at what they call the horseshoe and going across to Ontario and seeing it from that point of view, where you could see not only the falls on the American side, but then in Canada, because you're standing there, you really get a glimpse of the three waterfalls at that Niagara Gorge, and it spans the border between the province of Ontario, as I said, in Canada, and the state of New York in the United States, which would be Buffalo. The largest of the three is where I was on that side, Canada again, Horseshoe Falls. It straddles the international border. It is known really to the people there as the Canadian Falls. The smaller American Falls and Bridal Veil Falls lie within the United States. The Bridal Veil Falls is separated from Horseshoe Falls by Goat Island, and which is really cool, and you can see that on the American side. So it was really fun. I had a chance to catch up with one of my longtime friends. She took my husband and I over to Canada, and getting through, you know, you had to show a passport or some form of identification, and it's a good idea, and we're going to do a show on this, on what is an enhanced license. That's just a hint of things to come in the future. Let's just say we had a little tiny bit of a problem there because one of us thought we had an enhanced license, and in fact, we did not have an enhanced license. All right, the heat in California, what's really scary, of course, is the power grid, and there's big concerns over that because people are jacking up the air because they're bloody hot. I know a lot of you listening to me feel that way. It's been a prolonged heat wave in so many states in the West. In Northern California, they're saying that pretty much think of all the moisture being sucked from the trees, shrubs, and grasses. And now what do you have? You have a tinder dry landscape that could burst into flames from any spark whatsoever. So this can be obviously disastrous, and we're seeing the wildfires that are popping up. So there's big warnings also about that, about being very, very careful about what you're doing outside, because, again, what's happening where it's so, so dry, and the strain on the electrical grid is really, really intense. And it's not a surprise because of again, these temperatures that are 105, 106, 107, I mean, pick a number, but it's all up in that direction. So the state has to rely more on natural gas to produce electricity and avoid power outages. And, you know, look, you have a state that's trying to end the use of oil and gas. And right now, boy, they'd be in trouble if that happened, because they're so reliant on it. That's how awful it is there in dealing with the heat. Could there be a break in the heat? Yes, but this could also lead to flash flooding. We've talked a lot about floods in different areas of the country this year. Hurricane Kay is expected to bring lots of moisture to Southern California. Temperatures are forecasted to be pretty high again into the weekend, and you'll have those humid conditions all the way through the weekend. Kay is a system off of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula, so that means maybe flash floods, certainly high winds, strong surf in Southern California. So this is the most brutal September heat wave in California history, which started last week. It's supposed to last 9 days. Even at night, no break, record high, low temperatures, no relief whatsoever from what's happening, and now there's the possibility of this storm, which could bring the rain, which normally would be fantastic, except for there is the potential of flash floods. So be on the lookout for that. Hey, you want some good news? You know what we have starting up? NFL. That's right. Finally, the Bills and the Rams kicking it off. The Rams, of course, last year's Super Bowl winners. And Sean McVay, who is one of my favorite NFL coaches, I was just reading a story about McVay and the fact that, yes, finally they win the Super Bowl championship, but he keeps telling them that just because we have a banner, that doesn't mean it's going to come easy this next time around. I mean, he's the youngest coach in NFL history to win it all, and he says he cherishes it, and he tells the players still this was a wonderful moment. In fact, the Rams are going to unveil that banner on Thursday night at SoFi Stadium before they start the season off with the Buffalo Bills. But it's always hard to repeat, right? It's really, really, really tough to repeat, and he keeps reminding them of that. And you look at the Buffalo Bills, and it's crazy that when you look at Buffalo, they're the favorites. They're a 2.5-point favorite in this. So the Rams are the Super Bowl winners. They're unfurling their banner, and they're the underdogs in their own stadium since winning their franchise's second Super Bowl title ever. And how interesting is that? There's a couple of factors that play into it. And then you look at Buffalo and Buffalo's quarterback Josh Allen, who really played incredible football last year, and he's a great hope for the Buffalo Bills. And some of the players that they've lost, but some of the young players, because this is a young group of players, that they've retained. So it's a reminder that, yes, the NFL is starting. We are not going to have a nail the score in the first week because I'm on the road. But when I come back next Tuesday in our first hour of the show, in our last segment, it's your chance to win some fabulous prizes. I'll pick the game of the week in the NFL. All you have to do...
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Earth is Toronto, Canada. I went up there when I was a kid. My uncle played hockey, and his stuff is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I really got to see what Toronto was like, and we are going there now. Keenan Amasari is joining us, and he's got such an interesting story, and he's such a gift with poetry, so we're going to talk about that. But I found out something while he was in the virtual green room that has to do with Taekwondo and Team Canada and how far he got as I happened to be able to see his room with trophies, etc., and it kind of tripped us on this conversation. So I feel like I want the listeners to know more about that. So, Keenan, thanks, first of all, for coming on. But let's talk about Taekwondo before we dive into your book. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for such an awesome introduction. When it comes to Taekwondo, I started when I was a really young age. I was going through a lot of different things in my life. My mom was sick at the time. I went through my first heartbreak, and I was just really misguided, misdirected. And one of my buddies, he was on Team Canada for Taekwondo, and he suggested that it would be a good outlet for me. So I started going to train and went through a lot of different competitions. And one of the biggest issues that I had was control. I had so much anger issues. I would just go in there, and I was ready to beat people up. And I had a really good sensei, a really good coach named Mr. Sal. He would come to me day after day and ask me if I was ready. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And eventually I knew what he meant by asking me if I was ready. And it was whether or not I was ready to learn that Taekwondo was so much more than just fighting. It was about respect, control, perseverance. And it was a whole art form. And when I really stepped into the ring, harnessing those values, it just changed who I was as a person.
Wow. And so, as you said, changing, you learned a skill, but you learned how to control those anger issues, like you said, how you had. How valuable is that?
It was extremely valuable. It wasn't just learning how to control my anger. It was just learning about a different way to live life, a different way to see things, understanding that people don't always know what they're saying or people don't always know what they're doing, that we should think before we act. And that was the biggest takeaway for me. It's just learning about who I am as a person, because I had a really bad case of identity loss back then, and it really helped me get grounded and bring me back to earth.
I love it. So let's talk about your poems and how long you've written poetry, and what made you decide, hey, I like doing this, and then I'm going to end up pulling a book together, which is a poetic journey within a mind in love. I love that because immediately it conjures up so much. So tell us about writing poetry first.
Yeah, ever since I could remember, I loved writing. My mom used to tell me, she would come to me and she'd be like, listen, you have a gift. Don't ever take it for granted. It's because it first started just with school assignments. I found it really easy to write and put things together and make my vocabulary flow. And after a while, like I told you, I had problems really identifying with myself, and I had so much emotions built up inside of me. And for the longest time, I used poetry as that outlet or as a way to express myself, but I would really just keep it to me. I wouldn't really share this with anybody. And as I grew older, I found myself being more comfortable showing people my writing, and a lot of people would connect to it and it would resonate with them. And about a year and a half ago, I met somebody who I had really fallen in love with head over heels, and this girl was amazing. And what love really meant to me was showing somebody that you could be 100% vulnerable with them, really peeling back the layers and showing them who you are as a person. So I decided to take all this writing that I would write secretly about this girl in my notes on my phone, in my journal, whatever it may be. And I was like, you know what? Let me put this together. This would really read well. And I think it would make an amazing gift for her to show her what she means to me. So one day I decided to just sit down and start organizing how I wanted to portray my feelings to her, and came about this book. I started writing down how I felt when I met her, how I felt the first time I cried in front of her, how I felt on our first date, how I felt when I gave her this gift. And then the book just really became all about being vulnerable and being open and being you. So I decided that this was something that a lot of people needed to read and connect with, because a lot of people can't be vulnerable with themselves. And if you can't be vulnerable with yourself, how can you love somebody else? Because loving somebody else is all about being vulnerable with them. And I wanted to show them that it was okay, that it was okay to put all that stuff that you hide inside out there to the world. Because if I can do it, you can do it too. And I really just went about it not caring about judgment. And I feel that that's what this book is trying to teach people. It's a way to live life. What does it mean to be happy? How can you deal with anxiety? How can you love somebody unconditionally? What is really emotional intelligence? And taking a step back to just understand how you feel and why you feel it, and being okay with telling somebody that they may have made you feel a certain way, whether it was good, whether it was bad. That's what this book is all about.
What did she say about the book? What did the girlfriend say about just your poetry? Because she definitely would have read that.
I guess it was more of a lost word, and I think that says more than anything. It was something that nobody's ever done for her, and I think it'll stay with her for the rest of her life.
What about your family and friends? And all of a sudden you're like, hey, I put this, I've been writing and I put this together. What do they say?
The first time I showed my friends the book, they're like, finally, you put something together for all of us to read, because they would see little snippets of my writing here and there, and they would keep telling me it's so good. And oh my God, I can relate to this 110%. And they've been telling me to write a book for as long as I can remember, from the first time that I showed them something that I wrote. So when I told them that I had written something, I was planning on publishing this book, they were all ecstatic. They were so happy for me, because they were like, this is the appropriate step. This is what you should be doing. So now wherever I go, they let people know, yo, you should read this book. You should go pick up this book. It's amazing. So they've been a great support system. My mom especially, she loves my writing. She's my number one fan.
That's what you need. You need a mother that's a number one fan, and all those other raving fans too. And it's a poetic journey within a mind in love. I love the title of that. And you can get it, Kenan Amasar, you can get it on Amazon.com. So what do you hope, and you said it actually, about vulnerability and not being afraid, and if you don't love yourself and know yourself, how can you love somebody else? I know that's obviously part of it. Is that what you hope people take away from reading your poems?
Yes, yes. I want people to be not afraid. I want people to really put their best foot forward. And when I mean by saying put your best foot forward is I mean put your best self, who you are as a person. We live in a world where there's so much different expectations on people, and everybody's trying to be somebody in order to fit in better. And I think if you find yourself being okay with just presenting who you are to the person that you love, there's nothing that's going to stop you from being who you are to the rest of the world, because that one person is your world, essentially, right? And I just want people to see that purity is excellence, that purity is what we all need. At the end of the day, we're all going through the same experience, but we take away different lessons from it. I want to show people that this is a universal lesson, that vulnerability is really the key to being the best person, to understanding people the best way, and to living the best life.
Will you write another book? Will you pull more of your poems and writings and stuff together?
Right now, I've pondered off onto a different journey. I'm currently working on starting up a wellness company. It's called Positive Vibes. And we're trying to write a book for that. That's where my writing efforts have went. This company basically it wants to help people reach their self-development goals by teaching them about mental health without all the stigmas or the degrees or the different professionals behind it per se. We want people to be able to understand their mental health by simply breaking things down into the most basic concepts. So we've began writing this book that helps you to understand your psyche, helps you to understand what emotional intelligence is, what is trauma? How do you identify trauma? And what is the danger of being unable to identify trauma? Willpower. There's so many different things that we're writing about. And I want to take, I want to say, if I can, candidly, my skill of being able to connect with people through these poetic words, and I want to put it into practical sense. I want to give people information that is based on real facts, real science, that they can understand, consume, and apply to their day-to-day lives in order to reach their self-development goals and not feel so lost in a world where it's so easy to get lost.
So where can we find out more about Positive Vibes?
Yeah, I sent you the website link. It's positivevibes.ca. It's one word. We'll be up and running really, really soon, but you can check out all the information on our website. It'll cover everything that we do.
I love it. So we got a couple of places to go. Keenan, thank you so much. We wish you the best, and we're glad you came on.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A new poll shows inflation is causing hardship for a majority of Americans. Gallup reports 56% of respondents describe their experiences as moderate to severe hardship. That's up from only 49% who said the same in January. A judge isn't granting Elon Musk's request to delay a trial over his bid to buy Twitter. However, claims made by a whistleblower can be added to his countersuit. The whistleblower claimed Twitter has major security shortcomings that threaten privacy on the platform and national security. Changes are continuing in Uvalde, Texas after a school shooting last May. From the USA Radio News West Coast News Bureau, Lance Pry has the story.
The Austin American Statesman publication is reporting five Texas Department of Public Safety officers have been referred to the State Inspector General.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
So we're going to go to our virtual green room for a conversation with Drake Alexander. He is a U.S.-based attorney who took a very deep dive into the underworld of conspiracy theories. He's got a degree in political science. Think of Emory. Wow, I almost went to Emory. We should have a conversation off the air about that. He also served on the Hill. His book is called Coup, How America Was Stolen in 2020. Drake, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be here.
One of the things that you do in your book is you go state by state. So tell me why you wrote the book and how you did this research.
Absolutely. So it took about a year of investigation. So I began this in 2021 and ended the investigation about the end of March 2022. So it's very recent. There's been some new updates since then, things like the 2000 Mules investigation and whatnot. But the reason why I felt particularly compelled to do this book was because where I live, Pennsylvania, was sort of ground zero for issues in the 2020 election. One thing I'd like to premise this book with is that this isn't very much a political book. It's very much a look. It's sort of a narrative of being on the scenes and just kind of seeing what people were reporting as issues. Many of these issues I saw personally, things like cardboard being placed over the ballot counting areas, things like poll monitors being ejected from polling places, and also just my interest in law. You know, I looked into how many states effectively change their election laws illegally. So this book isn't a discussion about whether those illegal votes should have been counted. It's just an accounting that there were millions of illegal votes in the 2020 election.
Right. And that's what I think is so critical to your book, which is so different from some of the other material that's out there. And you said it because of the research that you did, what you saw. What else did you find out that was definitely egregious, that definitely could be proven?
Well, so I break the book down. I first set the premise of where the population had been primed to find election fraud. So since 2016, we had year after year after year of coverage that 2016 was stolen by some conspiracy that Russia colluded with Trump. And we've had congressional hearings. We've had wall-to-wall investigative coverage. We've had federal investigations, et cetera, for years. Ultimately, what the Senate Intelligence Report found was that Russia had purchased about $100,000 of Facebook ads that were pro-Trump. So it had a very little impact in the election results of 2016. Now, in 2020, we've cataloged state by state, as you mentioned, much more significant issues, irregularities, and fraud, essentially, that you're not allowed to talk about, right? So you're banned on social media if you talk about it. There's almost no big media coverage of it. And there's been no state investigation. Well, there's been some investigations, but no court would accept the case on the merits to actually make a determination about the issues that were found. So, for example, some of the indisputable things that happened in the 2020 election happened in Pennsylvania. So in Pennsylvania, a Democrat elected governor basically changed the election protocols, not election laws, because they can't do that. Only the legislature can do that. But they changed the election protocols to basically allow votes to be counted for as long as necessary, right? Beyond the time period that is allowed by law. They also changed the requirements under Pennsylvania law that you need a signature. Or you need to include an address or any of that. So there were thousands and thousands and thousands of simply blank ballots for Joe Biden that came into Pennsylvania that never should have been counted, but were counted anyways. And this is all in violation of the law. So that's an indisputable fact, that there were votes in Pennsylvania that were counted that never would have been counted in any other election. So that's an indisputable fact. Throughout the book, I try to separate things between circumstantial evidence, right? Evidence that you know, creates a likely scenario of something happening. And circumstantial evidence is not dismissive. There have been murders that have been tried on, that have been convicted on circumstantial evidence. And then I also talk about direct evidence and indisputable evidence. Some circumstantial evidence that I address sort of at the beginning of the book. So I essentially go from stating the premise to the circumstantial evidence to the hard evidence, right? So I kind of have that three-arc storyline here. But some of the circumstantial evidence, for example, is that Joe Biden's ticket, and only Joe Biden's, violates Benford's law, which is a law used in detecting accounting fraud. What's interesting about this is that Trump's Benford's law curvature does match the Benford's law, but also so do all Democrat down ballots. It's only the Joe Biden ticket that violates this statistical anomaly. So that's another example of circumstantial evidence. Another piece of circumstantial evidence is I quote an individual named Seth Keschel, who is a U.S. Army intelligence captain involved in identifying fraud during the initial Iraqi elections, during the Iraq War, and essentially his model being applied to the 2020 election proves fraud. Proves fraud, you know, suggests fraud. So those are some of the circumstantial evidence things that I cover as well. And then I go into the more direct evidence like the affidavits, the video footage, things like that that I cover throughout the book.
So for you, as you were digging this up, and I like the way you laid that out and how you told us here in this conversation the various ways that you did this. Well, at the end of the day, when you look at all that you've pulled together, and you said the reasons why, because, of course, social media, you can't go there. We know that. And nobody's covering it, and certainly not in depth. What was the thing when you uncovered a lot of what you uncovered that really just shocked you or surprised you?
Probably the biggest thing was the Arizona election audit. So Arizona did the most thorough, most forensic audit out of any of the states. There actually were only two states that did audits, Arizona and Georgia, both of which were shocking. But in Arizona, it's a provable fact that 27,000 non-citizens to this country voted in the Arizona election. That alone is more than double the victory margin of Joe Biden in that state. So that is indisputable. And what's fascinating is if you just Google search Arizona election fraud, for example, or Arizona election audit, you will see page after page of fact checks, right? And none of them talk about any of the hard data that the audit actually found. They just say something like the Arizona audit proved Joe Biden won. Well, it didn't really. And how can we have this dual reality, right? Well, we can have a dual reality because the fact checkers, the Google fact checkers will say, well, when the Arizona audit said that, okay, yes, there were 11,000 votes for Joe Biden, they confirmed that. So the fact checker relies on that piece of information, but they never talk about that 27,000 of them should never have been counted. So that's how we have this dual reality existing. And it's frankly quite frustrating because we now can't essentially improve our elections. We can't have trust in our elections if we continue to have this dual reality.
Yeah. So what is your hope for the future as far as our elections are concerned?
Well, I kind of addressed that towards the end of the book. Towards the end of the book, I talk about things that we can do and should do to improve confidence in elections. And then also towards the end of the book, I answer the question, why? Why would anybody do this, right? There's a Times article out there where they quote that in 2020, quote, cabal of governors and state Supreme Courts and big tech all worked together to win the election for Joe Biden in the air quote interests of democracy, which is sort of a fallacy of a statement in of itself. So they sort of admitted to what they did. But towards the end of the book, I talk about some steps we can take, right? One of them is to open up social media again by maybe changing or reforming Section 230, by maybe codifying the truth in journalism principles. So I make a couple of suggestions, but no greater suggestion than you just have to follow the laws of your own states, right? Because that's what happened. People just didn't follow the laws in their various states. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, all of these states just didn't follow the laws under their own books. That's where all these millions of illegal votes came from. And only, we shouldn't even be having the discussion of whether or not illegal votes should be counted or not. They should never have happened to begin with.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think you're weaving it throughout the conversation. By the way, we're speaking with Drake Alexander, of course. Coup is the book, How America Was Stolen in 2020. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place where books are sold. And like I said, you're weaving it in the conversation. But what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
So I hope people take away that what they're being told is not accurate. 2020 election was not the most secure in history, right? Joe Biden is not the most popular president in history, right? So these were things that we were told that made me suspicious of all of this and made me really dig into it. Whether or not we should be counting millions of illegal votes, I think that's a discussion for the population. Maybe we can vote on whether or not that happens, right? You can talk to your state legislature or not. Now, I'm of the opinion, being a lawyer, that they should never be counted. But that's a conversation that we can have. And I just hope people will realize that, whenever the media and social media and all these people, when they don't talk about things and when they force you not to be able to talk about them, there's something there, right? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you're prevented from noticing that smoke or that fire, that there's probably something going on that they don't want you to know about.
Yeah, so interesting. And here we are getting near the midterm elections. And in a couple of years, of course, we're talking about another presidential election. And I know you'll be watching that. Obviously, I'll be watching that. Drake Alexander, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. Really appreciate it.
Those
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both my hard copy books, Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
One of the authors we're going to introduce you to is Richard Hamilton, and he's written a book called Blind Expectations. We had a great off-air conversation. In fact, I could have sat down and had a glass of tea with him and talked all afternoon long. So, Richard, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Let's talk about Blind Expectations. What drove you to write this book?
Well, I've always enjoyed creative writing, and I just wanted to create an all-around feel-good love story, something that would touch someone's heart, move them emotionally, and hopefully inspire. I just wanted to create something where the reader will cheer on the good guy, root for the underdog. And also I wanted to include an edgier family drama subplot. So just something I've always wanted to do, and I'm very grateful that I was able to do it.
And congratulations, you did a great job in weaving this tale. And you can find this, by the way, wherever great books are sold, of course, Amazon, on down the line. And it's Blind Expectations, as I mentioned, the novel, C.D. Hamilton. So it'll be under C.D. Hamilton if you search that way, author-wise. And you talk about when you know, one of your character, your main character, Peter Michael Webb. And you talk about the fact that he's got a couple of dreams. And one of them, and this sounds familiar to what you told us, is about being a published author. And then the other is about finding true love. So did you wrap little bits and pieces of your life or people you knew into the novel?
You know, that's an interesting question. I may have just had snippets here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the main character at some point travels to New York City on the train, and that's something that I have done many times. So I've incorporated that action into it. But I have to say, for the most part, I mean, definitely for the majority of the novel, I had to really stretch my imagination and stir those creative juices to create various scenes and characters. And that's part of the fun, though. That's what I enjoy about it, just really delving into my imagination and getting everything down into a cohesive story and hopefully, like I said previously, one that would touch someone's heart.
Yeah, it's interesting too. As you know, that's why I said snippets of it. It's funny you talk about the train, and I grew up in New Jersey, and one of the highlights for me was taking the train to New York. So I can totally relate to that. I can visualize it. You just painted that picture for me, for sure. And you use a lot of great language in this, and you're very skillful in the way you pull this novel together, because that's the idea. And you said it. The idea is the story and pulling people into the story. Was it fun for you to write this novel?
Very much so. Creative writing is definitely my favorite pastime. And when you it's kind of hard to explain, but as a writer, you can probably understand, and other writers out there, when you really set your mind to it and you're visualizing the events inside your mind, and it's very exhilarating. And that to me is just some of the best fun that I've ever had, is just exploring the settings and the characters and describing the characters. Okay, what kind of traits does this character have, and so on. And to me, that's just so much fun and something I really enjoy doing.
And that's the whole idea. When you sit down and you write the book, and you know this because, as you said, you've been a creative writer, you've always written your whole life. When you finally, I call it like giving birth to the book, and so many people talk about this, you know, writing a book, and I have a book in my head, and gosh, they never get to it, and you certainly have done that. What was that feeling like when this one got out there, when this one was finished, was done? What did that feel like?
It felt like a great accomplishment. It's like a dream come true, in the sense that, oh, this is something I have always wanted to do, and I finally got it done, and and I have a book on my bookcase, something that I've written, and that's I'm very grateful that I was able to get it done and to set aside enough time that I could really work on it. And it's very rewarding, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're speaking with C.D. Hamilton. That's where you'll find the book, author-wise. Blind Expectations is the name of the novel. When people sit down and they read your story, what do you hope they take away from it?
I really hope that they will feel better. They will say to themselves, wow, this made me feel good. This was inspiring. This was something that the characters are, there is such a variety of characters, and the settings that were created, and but just want them to enjoy that aspect, but also, but more so, just enjoy the feel good aspect of it. Like, I just want them to be moved emotionally. I mean, I can't ask for a better reward than that. If my work touches someone's heart, that's the best reward there is to me.
Yeah, wow. Well said. And this, of course, was your debut novel. Will you write more? Will you write another novel?
I do plan to. I have the first chapter written. I have a lot more to work on it. It's something that I'm enjoying as well. And this new novel is more of a family drama. Whereas Blind Expectations is probably two-thirds or three-quarters of a love story, and then the remainder is the family drama. Whereas my new novel that I'm currently writing, it's definitely more of a family drama.
All right, there you go. Family drama. People can relate to that. C.D. Hamilton, Blind Expectations. You can pick that up wherever great books are sold. You know, look on Amazon, etc. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your adventure with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure to be here and to speak with you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. All right, I wanted to give you a little sneak on the book, and, you know, we talked about what the story was. So if you look up the book, you'll see this, you know, you get just a little snippet of it. So picture the main character that he was talking about, Peter Michael Webb. I mentioned his name, has two dreams in life, and I said that, becoming a published author and finding true love. And to his surprise, his great surprise, accomplishing the latter proves to be far more difficult. He attended the prestigious Stephanie Green College in New Jersey's mountainous northwest. It is quite a contrast for 23-year-old Pete. In fact, it's a blessing. Raised by a single parent in a struggling working-class neighborhood, he's grateful to be here. So that kind of sets the scene for you. And then you go on to learn he's a hopeless romantic, very naive. He learns the hard way that love is not the fluff he had pictured in his mind. Ooh, we can relate to that, right? And woman after woman shatters his fragile heart and cruelly. But then one woman, his closest friend at the school, does no such thing. So he meets someone, Corinne is her name, and wants nothing more than to piece it back together with her love. Ooh, I like that. Powerful, right? You come out on the other side, then accepts a proposal. I won't give you all the details because, again, this is just supposed to kind of whet your appetite, because I think he has such a gift for writing. And C.D. Hamilton mentioned that he works professionally, right? Writing and editing, and he's done that for a couple of decades, and he certainly has brought that to the page. So what happens to the two dreams? You'll have to find out yourself. Pick up the book, Blind Expectations, C.D. Hamilton. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.